Well, Kirk's a good, you know, a veteran guy that has had a lot of success in the league, and so we expect him.
I'm sorry. I need to replay the first 5 seconds of the soundbite. What was he going to say? What was he going to say? And then he basically Kirk's a.
I think that might.
Well,
been,
Kirk's
here. Hold on.
Yeah. Well, Kirk's a good, you know, a veteran guy that has had a lot of success in the league, and so.
That's what you would say about, you know.
Well, she was a good person in my life.
Yeah, she existed in my life for a minute there.
Some good times, some bad.
All right, here's the full bite.
Well, Kirk's a good, you know, a veteran guy that has had a lot of success in the league, and so we expect him to come back and play better this week. But we expect everybody to come back and play better. You know, there was times in the game where, you know, we get a 11-yard run and we get called for holding. We dropped a lot of balls, which you wouldn't expect from our the receivers that we have. So there was a combination of things that kept us from moving the football.
Oh my God, it's hilarious. All we can do is laugh at this 0-2 start and this debacle so far. And you know what? We're going to take another stab at this thing to start the show here in a minute, because we, in fairness, picked the Vikings records and picked the schedule before we even found out that Danielle Hunter was going on injured reserve. And think about how many things have happened in the last week and a half since that. So we're going to repick the Vikings schedule. Our friend Jay Williams from ESPN will join us. Rumor has it we're going to get a dud stable from our guy Randy in Cottage Grove. And I saw him tweet that he has fired someone in his mind already. So apparently Randy and Cottage Grove is going to fire somebody.
Okay.
But let's talk about Federated here. Federated Mutual Insurance Company has been helping business owners in the state of Minnesota for over 100 years. 1904, based in Owatonna. And they're also on Twitter. If you want to find great little snippets and tweets about all aspects of business protection, including disability, income insurance, business, succession planning, you name it. They're floating tweets at Federated INS. So go ahead and give them a follow on Twitter. And remember, at Federated Mutual Insurance Company, it's our business to protect yours.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
They kind of know me pretty well. They know that I'm going to be emotional, and there's still a lot of football left to be played. But we got to get better faster. The second quarter has not been good to us these last 2 weeks. But get back on track this week.
That's one way to look at it.
How hard is he trying to remain as calm as possible in the absolute chaos of a storm that is destined to sink the ship?
He's like, he reminds me of Tom Hanks' character, Jimmy Dugan, in A League of Their Own,
yeah,
where Evelyn keeps missing the cutoff man throughout the whole movie, and he's just like trying not to freak out at her during that big, like the World Series game. Evelyn? But like the second quarter, I mean, like when you've watched these first two Vikings games, have you guys thought to yourself, boy, rough second quarter. If they could just get that cleaned up, they'd be in great shape.
I think the point differential in the second quarter is the worst, and that's why. But yeah, there is nothing about these games that internally wouldn't make Zimmer panic completely.
Yeah, and I think all of us are sitting here panicking right now.
Oh, I'm not panicked.
And speaking of,
I'm perfectly calm. This is working out perfectly, Phil.
Well, I am in a calm place too, because I've just come. I've always been on the edge with Kirk Cousins, but these first two games, you know, whatever percentage of the pie chart of blame you want to give to Kirk Cousins, it's just very clear and present to me at this point that you should be entering an historic quarterback draft in 2021 mm-hmm. with as many chips on the table as you can.
And plus this is now, two games in, a glorious opportunity for growth. Jeff Gladney, Dantzler. Oh, by the way, Sunday, Cleveland starting. He's either going to start at left guard or left tackle.
So it's Drew
Samia, Ezra just, Cleveland.
You're saying that's the Judd plan?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. My plan.
You're breaking news there for
no,
me too.
My plan is everybody's playing now. Everybody's playing. This is a glorious opportunity. Don't look at this as defeat. Look at this as experience.
I will say the one thing that they do have to guard against, though, and Ezra Cleveland might be Exhibit A here. I mean, you have to play some rookies, because especially in the secondary, like
yeah, you have no choice.
You have to play some rookies. You just don't have a roster. But you do have to also guard against ruining a guy's career and mentality. Like, I would be a little worried that if things don't get back on the track to some extent, that you're going to take some talented young guys, throw them into the fire too early and too long, and they're going to be ruined.
I've given that a lot of thought because I agree completely on a team that would be somewhat competitive. But I think if you call, see here's the splitting of the hairs that's so important here. It's fun to call it tanking, but it's the wrong word. Like, tanking implies everybody's in. Oh yeah, let's lose on that. Yeah, doesn't
the players are especially the players
and coaches don't and coaches don't. Mm-hmm. It's not tanking. It's experience necessary to win.
It's massaging.
And so where I agree with you is I don't want to ruin Jeff Gladney in year one because I basically burned through his confidence. But if I tell him, Jeff, you're going to get beat a lot and it's going to be tough. And you know what? Eventually, you're going to be damn good. And every time you get beat, I want you to learn from that. I will never yell. I will never get mad. But the experience that you and listen, if Kirk gets mad and says, how could you allow that play, Jeff? You just say, coach said it's okay. It's not tanking. It's experience where necessary.
So, I like where you're going
so we
this.
Need to, but we need to, I think for us, the word tank is great because it's just a fun word. Tank for Trevor just works.
It fits with two of the top three quarterbacks in the draft.
Exactly
too, right.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I
fail for Fields would be the other one.
Okay. And those words are fine. But the reality is no one's actively going to participate in not trying to win. But what they will actively participate in, experience that will pay off.
This reminds me, I've told you guys before. So when I was in like early high school, me and some other baseball-playing friends took lessons from Dave Winfield's brother, Steve. Now, Steve at one point was a highly regarded athlete and obviously didn't pan out to the level that Dave did. But Steve Winfield, and by the way, those lessons were money flushed down the toilet based on where my high school baseball batting average went the next couple of years. But Steve would constantly reference Dave in some of his examples. Like, you know, my brother would always say this or do this. And the one, like, I love the reframing that you've done here. The reframing from tanking to, no, this is a period of growth here.
Growth
for the Vikings, right?
Opportunity, yes.
And what he would say is Dave wouldn't call, when you're going through a rough stretch during the season, he wouldn't call it a slump. A slump is too negative. A slump implies, like, meh, right?
Right.
He would call it a period of statistical adjustment.
Love it.
The Vikings are going through a period of franchise and roster adjustment here, okay? That's all this is.
Yes. Yes.
That's all this is.
And the important thing to keep in mind is, at its core, this roster is not terrible.
I think
they've got some good young components to develop.
I think parts of the roster are pretty terrible.
They are.
They've got some good borderline elite players that are still in their prime, which is good.
But if I gave you the roster right now, you wouldn't cut everybody.
That is true.
Or even close.
In fact, if you just measured rosters in the NFL based on peak top-level talent, the Vikings aren't number one by any means, but the Vikings are like top half of the league. Adam Thielen's one of the best wide receivers. Dalvin Cook's one of the best running backs. Danielle Hunter, Yannick Ngakoue, Harrison Smith, Eric Kendricks. Like, they've got some dudes on this team, but they've got so many other guys that are either completely inexperienced or they're just back. Like, the two guys playing in the middle of their defensive line are just straight up backups.
Yes. Exactly.
So, like, those guys would not be starting on playoff teams.
Mm-hmm. But the corners might ultimately be absolutely fine.
Yep. But never was that expected, even in a normal year in 2020. So some of this is parsing apart. Ooh, what's something. A normal transition year? You know, what we all talked about. This is not going to be a Super Bowl team, but they might still make the playoffs. Like, how much of this is a team in transition versus no? Actually, this is a team that might need a coaching shakeup more than we thought, et cetera. Well, sure. Some people were calling for a coaching change, but. Let's do this here because we didn't give ourselves a real fair shot. That's what I'm saying anyways. When we made our record predictions before we knew about Danielle Hunter landing on the injured reserve list, Anthony Barr is out now for the entire season after his injury, torn pectoral muscle on Sunday. So, Dax, why don't we fire up some appropriate music here?
All right.
Football.
I've got the schedule. We're going to go game by game again. We're going to do this again. Let's try picking the schedule one more time. I think initially Declan and I had them.
I don't want to talk about it.
Declan had them with like 12 wins.
I think initially it was 12 and 4, the second time 11 and 5, and then a home run prediction 14 and 2. So, you know, yeah, I'm all over the board here.
Declan, you're young. just like Jeff Gladden, you will learn.
Okay. We're actually going to give Declan 14-2 as the one that he's on the record.
Thank you.
It's hilarious.
Thank you.
I had him 11-5. Judd had him 9-7.
Appreciate it.
So, and even I look ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, we all have him 0-2 to start with
here. I'm prepared to keep track of my predictions, too. Okay.
0-2 to start with, unless anyone disagrees. We all agree they're 0-2 to start?
Yes.
After watching
Are you sure Sunday happened?
Yes.
All right. Home against the Tennessee Titans on Sunday.
I'll start. That's a loss.
They're you guys, let's keep track of our own records and that at the end.
We'll do. Thank you. Yeah, that'll make life producer.
Tennessee Titans.
That's a loss for me.
You know what? I'm going to say they rebound and win game. I'm going to say that they come back. Here's the thing. Here's why. Kirk Cousins is always just good enough. Like, in the face of pressure, when the pressure is actually off, he thrives. So I'm going to say that Cousins has a huge game, and it's actually sort of too late now in a lot of ways. But that Giants game, right, last year, Kirk Cousins is playing terrible. Oh, he has a great game. So I'm going to say that they, not by a lot, I'm going to say they actually win that game.
It's funny because some people might say, well, they're 0-2. Like, if they don't win, the season is really over, and so there's more pressure. But I agree. There's something about starting 0-2 that just frees you up to go and throw the ball around.
And he is, and if you can take any pressure off of Kirk, he absolutely ordinarily thrives.
And so I actually think it's a win too. Another rule of thumb in the NFL too is whenever everyone is going in one direction, chances are the pendulum's going to swing the other way. Mm-hmm. And so that's why when you see point spreads that are like, you know, Jaguars are 17-point underdogs against the Patriots, like usually you'll take those points because people are going too far in the direction of blowout. So I actually think the Vikings, everything to me screams this should be a bounce back. If there's any fight and any talent on this team, they win this game at home. So I got them 1-2 here. All right, at Houston, first weekend in October.
The loss. Bill O'Brien's a buffoon. It's going to be the coaching that is the sole reason the Vikings win this game. Zimmer might be able to out-scheme idiot Bill O'Brien, but also Deshaun Watson's really good.
We will get to our buffoon coach of the week, later on in this episode.
I think it's unanimous, but I can't wait.
I think it's very clear, crystal clear.
But I'm going 0-4. They're 0-4 to see.
All right, Judd?
If this game was at U.S. Bank Stadium, I might give the Vikings a chance. Look, the Texans aren't great, and Dex is right. Bill O'Brien's a buffoon, but Deshaun Watson's going to beat you. He's just going to find a way to beat you, and your defense does pretty much looks like it stinks. So I'm going loss for the Vikings.
You guys are going to be surprised here. I think the Vikings have a little resurgence in the month of October here. I think the Vikings have a little juice. Also worth noting, two things about the Texans. Well, number one, they've played the most impossible schedule ever to start the season. They've played the Chiefs and the Ravens, probably the two best teams in the NFL.
Yes.
But I feel like they've gotten handled pretty well in both those games. And Deshaun Watson's kind of the one redeeming thing. And I don't know if he's enough. If it was Deshaun Watson and like another star receiver like they used to have.
But how about Deshaun Watson against this defense? I think he'll find a way to beat him.
So I'm actually going to say they win this game.
So you got them 2-2.
At Seattle, and we got Jay Williams in like 9 minutes, so I'll go faster here. At Seattle, loss. Anybody want to speak up?
Let's all go loss.
We are 0-5 in Declan's world.
Jeez. Okay, if they go 0-5, does someone lose a job? Like, what if they start 0-5, is Mike Zimmer still the coach going into week six?
Yes.
Probably is.
They're not. I'm telling you, they're not going to fire a guy with what they are losing revenue-wise because of the pandemic in the middle of this year. They're just not going to do it because they're going to eventually have to. If they do, you can't go out and hire a crappy coach, which would be expensive again. They are not going to double up the pay of coaches. I just don't see it happening. Not this year.
Home against Atlanta in week six.
That's a win.
That's a win. That is your first
win. Thank you, Declan.
Finally.
Wow. Big time.
First win.
Good vibes going into the bye week in week seven, and then a road game against Green Bay week eight.
I'll go loss.
It's probably going to be a loss. I would love for it to be a win, but it's a loss.
Green Bay looks great. Their offense so far through 2 weeks. Now I get that they've played
a
Swiss cheese defense or two.
You know who looks really good?
Aaron Jones.
The future Vikings quarterback.
Aaron Rodgers.
He does. One way or the other, the Vikings are either going to get Trevor Lawrence or Aaron Rodgers in the next two or three years because of this.
So I don't hate it.
Embrace the suck. All right. Home against Detroit week nine.
That's a win.
Yeah, it is.
That's a win.
It is. Yeah.
That's
Maddie ain't beating them.
No. I don't know that it's a guaranteed win, but
it's not. But I think it's
a win. At Chicago, Monday Night Football. A little primetime action that they can't flex out of in week 10.
That's a loss now.
I'm going to go win. I'm going to go say, Chicago, I'm gonna say they're going to get
Chicago's
a rare win.
Chicago's 2-0, man.
They're 2-0. Mitchell has somewhat looked somewhat okay, but with no fans at Chicago, I think actually it's not as a house of horrors. I think they win. They go to 3-6.
Could there be fans by then in Chicago?
Maybe.
There might be a few.
Yeah, Rami will be there.
Not enough to make a huge difference.
Rami.
Yeah. It's Rami. A loss. It's a loss for me, dog.
Okay. All right.
There's no way this Vikings team goes into, like, the good Vikings teams can't win in Chicago. All right, home against Dallas. Three straight home games coming in here.
It's a loss.
Yeah, it's a loss.
It's a loss.
It's a loss.
Dallas looks pretty rickety. They had to come back from down 20, but Dallas,
yeah, they don't look great. You're right.
There's a lot of firepower there.
It's early though there too.
Yeah, they're trying to get.
And
some
they
new
might
components
be good. Here. And they might be good.
Home against Teddy Bridgewater in Carolina.
Oh, this
is pretty terrible.
That's a win for the Vikings.
I think Judd's right.
It's pulling my heartstrings, but I think they win. Especially with McCaffrey. Well, McCaffrey might be back by then. I think he's out 2 to 6 weeks.
He won't be the same though, sure. Right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Never know.
It's November 29th. That's 2 months away.
Yeah, I'll
say
win.
Back by then.
I'll say win. I'll say Vikings win.
I think they win that game too. Okay. All right, home against Jacksonville in week 13.
I think that's a win. I like Gardner Minshew. He's fun as hell, but I think that's a win for me. I'm going win.
I think Gardner Minshew tears him apart, picks him apart. I'm going loss there. That's the type of game. That's the type of game the Vikings should lose now.
Yeah, this is,
and that's a good loss too.
That's a game
we're celebrating it.
Yep. Oh yeah. Well, at this point, we'll get to our records in a second, but that game against Jacksonville ordinarily should be an automatic win. This is the type of team that for sure loses that game to Jacksonville though, and Jacksonville's got a couple weapons, and Gardner Minshew, it's pretty darn good. At Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, looks like they started to get a little bit dialed in week 2.
That's a loss for the Vikings at Tampa Bay. Sorry.
I'll finally change my tune and say they'll lose the game after I've been doubling down for the last 4 or 5 months.
Tampa's way better. And you saw a little bit of a preview of what Tom Brady can do with those weapons. So it's a loss.
I believe also Antoine Winfield's the number one graded cornerback by PFF through 2 weeks, or one or two. He's been a stud.
Didn't need him.
Hey, we liked him.
Home against the Chicago Bears, week 15.
I'll go win.
The Bears are going to be in this, right? The Vikings.
I want to know, like, Declan has them 0-5 to start the year, and then just like surging in the second half.
Because a lot of these teams are bad that they're going to play.
Yeah, Chicago though looks like they might be in it now. So I'm going to go loss. I think the Vikings are checked out by this point.
I agree. Yeah, I'm with Judd. They lose that game at New Orleans on Christmas on a short week.
Loss.
Drew Brees looked old last night, but that's still a loss.
Loss.
He looked awful.
He looked terrible.
And then on the road at Detroit in a pillow fight, week 17.
They'll win.
That's the tea time game.
Patricia's
right there.
Gone by then, or the players have completely cashed in their chips from the Lions. That's a win for the Vikings by accident.
Dex.
And by the way, it's a bad win.
I'll say a loss. I'll say the Vikings lose at Detroit. They'll just close this out. They'll mail it in. Sean Mannion's in by then. Maybe Jameis Winston's in by then.
Wow.
Maybe another trade there.
I love what you did there, Declan. I love what you did.
PFF's Eric Eager had that take, and you can find that on Purple Daily today. So that's going to be great.
Orching hot.
I think this game, if the season plays out the way that I have here, which is they're 5-10 going into that game, I think the game at Detroit really depends solely on do they care. And do they buy into Mike Zimmer still?
And who cares more?
And I don't know.
Because I'm telling you, I think if Patricia's still the coach there, I think the Lions players have, by that point, so firmly given up that the Vikings accidentally care more. And I will reiterate, it's a bad win.
I think the Vikings lose that game.
Good.
I think they do. But I have them 5-11 based on the revamped schedule.
I got them 6-10, I think, now, which I don't like. I hope it's worse.
What do you have them, 4-12?
No, I have 6-10.
Oh, so you have them starting 0-5 and then rebounding.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what they'll do.
You called it.
That's what they'll do.
So, all right. So,
Dex is probably right, too.
If they finish, let me go look at last year's standings here real quick. Hold on a second.
This is not the draft pick I wanted, by the way.
I want to know, you're not going to get Trevor Lawrence with, let's say they go with my record, 5-11. Oh, we can do either one of these.
That's fine.
You're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. I think Justin, depending on who drafts, like, I think Justin Fields probably goes number 2. Like, is someone going to pass up on one of these guys?
Mm-hmm.
So in 2019, the worst record in the NFL, Cincinnati Bengals, were 2-14. Man.
They're not... I don't know they're capable of getting to that. I mean, they look through 2 weeks like they are, but...
Yeah, here's the
record.
Are they
really going to be this bad all year? I don't know.
2-14, 3-13, 3-12-1, 4-12. So 5-11 gets you maybe the fifth pick. I don't know. Like, you might be in Tanner Morgan territory by then. There might be three quarterbacks off the board. You got to be worse than that.
So this is going to drive you crazy, Phil, but here's the fly in the ointment of ultimately what would be best for this team. It's what I brought up before. The more you relieve pressure from Cousins, the better he gets, and also the more chances he will take, some of which will succeed. And so the second half could just be basically a fourth grade recess looking offense that actually starts to work and scores points, because there's no pressure then.
It would be,
you stink.
Honestly, like 5-11 or 6-10 would be the absolute worst thing you could do this year. The worst thing. You'd rather go 8-8, 9-7, and at least give yourself a chance in the tournament, as they say. Which I don't think. I think that's futile, too. Like, there's no way you're beating that Russell Wilson Seattle team right now. Although, the only thing is, like, everyone is suffering season-ending injuries here. Seattle had a couple big-time injuries.
Here's my fear. Here's my fear, guys. Starting with the Carolina game, look at the opponents, look at the schedule, and then envision the Vikings playing with no pressure. Carolina could be done. Jacksonville.
I think Carolina's more likely.
The Saints are weird.
See, Carolina, though, with a new regime, new coach, new quarterback, I think they're more likely to be, like, potentially playing their asses off in the second half and Teddy getting better.
Yeah,
and
but I'm telling you, Cousins, what I hate about Kirk is he actually could play some great games because there's no there to the game itself.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's so hard to read.
Give me three wins. Give me two wins.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll find out. We'll see what
and
happens.
We'll do it again next week.
Those are our. So we went from 11-5, 11-5 or 12-4 with Declan.
Yeah.
And 9-7. And we've all essentially. So Judd is the one that has the narrowest. Judd has him going from 9-7 to 6-10, which is probably the most realistic. But Declan and I have literally said, whoa, we overshot by 5 or 6 wins.
Yeah.
Declan's saying more than that, dude. He was 14-2 at one
point. That wasn't a home run, and I was baited into it.
Phil used it against you.
Like, I dug my own grave. Yeah. I understand it. You gave me the shovel, the dirt, the tombstone.
The interrogation's not going well, Dex.
I hopped in the grave. You didn't ask for a lawyer, man. I understand what happened.
What, like, you know, when you go back to, like, sometimes this is all more simple than we think, and maybe we lost sight of that, and that they lost one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. They lost through either attrition or salary cap, several starters on defense, and they didn't really improve their offensive line. You know, what was really, like, realistically, short of Justin Jefferson being the second coming of Randy Moss right out of the gate, like, what was going to get them to the 11 wins that I had? I feel like such an idiot.
Yeah, but for the first two games, you just, I think, partially explained the Packer loss. And the Colts are fine. But you certainly could have been ultra-competitive and won that game.
Yeah.
I think that Colts game was not a, wow, you played the Chiefs and you had no chance game.
Also, I think, you know, and just interacting with tons of people, like Vikings fans, both on Ventline and also just like social media the last couple of days, you know, some of the ones that are still, it's a very, very small number of people that are still clinging to the optimistic angle and trying to find something positive here in the first two games. But the main thread I hear is it's only two losses. You can still rebound. And, like, you lost two games. It's not like, yeah, but it'd be one thing if you lost on a game-winning field goal in overtime and, like, a pick six in the end zone because Kirk was threading the needle down five with the ball, right? Like, if it was bang, bang, these games aren't close. And I know that Packers score kind of says, like, oh, yeah, it was, like, kind of a shootout, right? It was, like, 43 to whatever. Like, no, man, that game was not close. It was not competitive. And that game against the Colts, if the Colts weren't just settling for field goals inside the 30 all day, how many field goals did the Colts kick on Sunday? Those could have been touchdowns if Phillip Rivers wasn't, like, completely my guy, incapable of, you know, slinging the ball somewhere. So, I don't know. If the games were closer, I would say, okay. But they're not.
And starting with the playoff loss to San Fran, which was a really good team, you getting your ass kicked, which against the Niners, you're like, oh, okay, they're really good. And that's a bad look for the Vikings, but they're really good. And then the Packers, it was like, well, they're not as good as San Francisco was, but you know what? They played pretty damn well, and that's a bad loss. But by the Colts loss, you got your ass kicked, and you shook your head and said, the Colts kicked your ass? And the answer was absolutely, positively, yes, they did.
By the way, I just got a text. Our guy Jay Williams is in line at the DMV right now, and so you can't use your, like, when you're in line at the DMV, you're not supposed to use your phone, like, in there. So I told him, listen, let's do it next week. We'll do a full golf breakdown next week.
What would you rather do? Have to watch, go back and watch one of those Colts or Packers game, or have to stand in line at the DMV for an hour?
So I went to the DMV to get a new license. And by the way, that was 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And I waited outside because, like, you're not supposed to have people inside. I waited outside for an hour.
Oh, you went?
In the middle of summer. Yeah, because my license, I need a new license.
I got a story about that, but keep going.
And it's 2 months. It has not been mailed yet. So they're way behind.
Yeah.
You're waiting there. Everyone's super crabby always. Like, people come in with just, like, basic questions. Hey, so, like, go online and read the website.
Yeah.
Did you read the directions?
Did you fill out form B34, sir?
Yeah.
So my license is up on my birthday, which is the 13th of November. And, like, a month ago, I was like, I'm going to address this now, right? And then
Dawn said
you can't go in.
You have to make an appointment online.
It has to be an appointment. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, they're booked for months.
Long story short, my appointment to renew my license made at least a month ago now is for November the 2nd.
Yes.
That was the first time I could get in. Every calendar date was blocked off.
So I did the same exercise. I went on their website. And my appointment, because I actually wound up making the appointment like you did a month or something in advance.
Yes.
I got super lucky. So my first appointment was like, I had to make it like 2 months or 3 months out.
Which is what I've done.
But then I got lucky. I figured I'm just going to keep checking these because sometimes they open, like people cancel or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so I went and I literally was on Bloomington. I was in New Brighton. I'm checking like every single city.
No, see, you're, no.
Every single city. I checked Shakopee.
I went Ridgedale. And Edina. And I got Edina. And I ain't going any farther than that to get my license.
My wife went to Forest Lake because they had an opening.
No, see, you guys are far too kind. I am playing zone license game here. And my zone is Minnetonka, Edina.
I did AAA. AAA stores can do license renewals.
How quickly
and other
did you get in there?
Yeah, they wouldn't let us in.
Okay, I got in quick, but I was in there for this was in November. I had to get tabs and a license.
Oh, but you could still go back then.
Yeah, this
was you can't do
this
that
now. This is pre-pandemic.
Okay.
But AAA locations do it, so you don't like have to go to the DMV for this.
But post-pandemic, you can't do that.
Oh, you can't.
Because we tried to do the same thing. You have to have an appointment.
God.
At least, AAA was the greatest.
Yep, so there's a AAA over in like St. Louis Park.
That's where I go.
Yeah. There's one in Roseville.
That's where I've gone.
And the one in St. Louis Park, usually you can walk right up. So here's what it was. If you got, there's two ways to do it. You either make an appointment and you make it however many weeks out, or you have to get there when they open at like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
so the first time we got there at like 8 or 9 on a Saturday thinking, I mean, whatever, it can't be that bad, right? No, there's literally a line out the door, down the sidewalk and around the corner and socially distanced. So then we said, all right, so what? It's not that late. Like, did all these people show up? And she said, yeah, all these people showed up before it opened. Like, people were here at 4:30 in the morning.
Wow. What?
Crazy. Wow. I don't know if it's still the same way,
like,
but that's what it was like.
A World Series game. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and except people in line for tickets to a World Series game or like a Star Wars premiere or something are usually happy and dressed up and like drinking. People that get in line at 4:30 in the morning outside of a DMV are the most miserable people you've ever seen in your life.
Easily.
Just terrible.
Easily.
So did these people not go online then to sign up to renew licenses or license plates and things like that, or what was their deal?
I don't know for sure, and we didn't stop to chat them up, but I remember like we walked in.
I'm surprised Jonna didn't.
No, she's chatty, but not that chatty.
She seems like she'd be chatty enough to be like, what the bleep are you thinking?
So we walked in at first because we saw the line, and we were like, that's weird. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning. Like, why is there a line going around the block? So we walked in. There must have been a sign that we missed out front or something. And the woman in there was like, what are you doing in here? And we're we're just license. We just need new licenses. She's like, did you not read the sign out front? And I'm thinking, like, does every bleeping interaction with someone at the DMV have to be like this? Like, can it not just be, how can I help you there?
Oh, yeah.
It's like it always has to be that they're having the worst day of their life and they hate their job.
Correct.
And they're taking it out on you.
I'm going to help you out here. Okay, this is a game now. And it's a game that if you ever have to go to a bank, you have to play. That is slow play their anger. So instead of being like because at the core, these people do not want to talk to you. They would prefer that you weren't there and they don't want to work. All right. So at the core, what you have to do is be laid back, calm, relaxed, and also take your time to tell them what you want because it drives them crazy. I used to go for years. I used to take my paycheck every other Friday and go to the bank and stand in line.
What?
Just for the very fact that it drove the tellers crazy. Don't you have direct deposit?
That's a little sociopathic. Yeah.
Don't you have direct deposit?
That's Norman Bates stuff.
Don't you have direct deposit? And I would be like, no, I don't yet. Can I get? And it was absolutely great. Okay.
I'm good on direct deposit there. I am too now.
I am too now. But for years, it was great fun. Now, the best one is, and I've done this at Subways and our Cub, Phil. Get in line, and the cashiers now, if you don't go to the thing where you scan your own items, will slow play it because they basically want you to get out of the line, right? Take out your cell phone while you're in line and casually scroll through your cell phone. And when your turn gets up, continue to scroll through. The fact that you're moving slower than they're trying to move drives them nuts. It's the most fun I've ever had.
I feel like we need like a Judd, like a side podcast where Judd just talks about like all of his like social behaviors here. I can't remember the last time I went to a grocery store. Actually, Whole Foods doesn't have the check yourself out usually.
Cup has huge lines.
The one in Minneapolis just started the self checkout again. They just restarted it.
Oh, so that's good.
Yeah.
But if self checkout is available, I'm a 100% self checkout guy. I'd rather stand in a line of 15 people at self checkout.
A lot of people are like this.
Than stand in a one person line where someone else checks me.
I like someone bagging my groceries. I hate bagging groceries.
Cub doesn't bag for you.
Can't understand it.
Cub does not bag for you. No. I like to drag my feet.
Oh, I had a showdown yesterday. We have other things to get to here, but since we're down this track,
okay. That's great.
Let's hear it. Right.
And this is in place of Jay Williams was going to join, but he had a DMV conflict. So yesterday, I had a showdown at Whole Foods with the cash register guy. Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm carrying a basket that admittedly was like more full than I wanted to be. I had to get some cat food for a little Tommy, pick up some stuff for dinner and like some stuff for the rest of the week, whatever. And so I brought the basket instead of the cart because I just didn't want to like – sometimes if I have a cart, I fill it up and it's more of a personal restraint thing for me.
Same way.
But the basket's super heavy.
Yeah.
Well, what they've done at these grocery stores is they've taken away a lot of the little dividers that you'd used on the little belt, right?
Oh, okay.
Ordinarily, like you go and you grab a divider and you can start offloading your stuff while the other person's checking out.
Yep.
Well, they don't have those anymore at the Whole Foods that I was at. I'm guessing they probably don't have those – at a lot of places because of COVID, right? With people touching the same thing and they don't want to have to wipe it off all the time.
Okay.
So I go and I put, so the guy in front of me, almost all of his stuff is checked out. And so I just put my basket on the conveyor belt because it's heavy. And the guy stops checking the food out from the other customer, looks at me and he goes, "Sir, can you please remove the basket from the conveyor belt until all of the food is gone?" Or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Excuse me?" He goes, "I'm going to need you to..." It was like a flight attendant saying, "I'm going to need you to like unstrap that bomb from your chest." Or like, it's like, "I'm going to need you to take that basket off the conveyor belt." And I said,
"Oh my."
Okay, well, I'm actually just going to leave it on this like there's the metal part. Just going to leave it here on the metal part. Like, and I just kind of looked at him and he without saying anything, he just turns back and starts checking all the other stuff out. And I'm like, is that what we've come to?
See, that's super.
Is that what we've come to?
That's super pretentious, too.
Oh my God.
Like that's not necessary.
And then he could sense that, like, he had created tension between us. And so when it was my turn, he goes over the top, like, "Hey, sir, how are you doing today?" And now he's over the top, and I'm like, "Dude, I'm out on you.
Yeah,
I am out on you."
And you've got pick your path if you're this guy, right?
And he goes,
"Pick your path."
And then he goes, "Would you like me to bag your groceries?" And I said, "I can get it myself." That's right, because I don't need you.
Wow. So why were you not at the local Cub, Phil? Like, that local Cub counts on you.
All right, this is going to sound really pretentious.
I really like that Cub, by the way.
But we have a 12-year-old cat, Tommy. I think he might be 13.
He needs special food.
And he has a weak stomach. And we have found that there's a particular...
It runs in your family.
I know. There's a particular...
You, Tommy.
There's a particular brand of food, soft food, at Whole Foods.
Oh, yeah.
Organic, grain-free food that he responds better to. Except for this morning, like this the once Tommy? A week, he had a tornado stomach problem from both ends. Ooh. This morning. It was
poor Tommy. Hurt they get old, out. It's tough.
I know, it's
that's not a wolf, Dex.
That's not a wolf.
Anyways.
Football.
Randy in Cottage Grove. What's going on, man?
I had a problem once where I was dealing with it on both ends, and it's not good.
Both ends at the same time?
Oh, absolutely. If you just say if you do the hot food challenges, sometimes we do that. And I got a buddy who likes it real hot, and the rule was no beer, no chaser on these wings until you finish all 12. And I ended up staying at the establishment several more hours until I was able to leave under my own power.
Oh my God! Wow. Are you just
be careful.
Do you enjoy spicy food? What's your favorite? Not counting wings. What's your favorite spicy food to eat?
Throw a little Tabasco on some Doritos. That's kind of a gourmet thing I try.
Really?
If you happen to have any cheese in the house, you can melt them on there. Called nachos. It's pretty good.
Sure. Nachos?
I've done that once or twice before myself.
How do you spell that?
N-A-C-H.
Do restaurants sell those?
NACHO'S. Nachos. That's not why I'm calling. I'm going to deliver. Of course, I wish it was a stud stable, but it's not.
Yeah, it's been a tough start to the season here.
This is going to be a dud stable, and it's going to finish with a bit of a pointed statement that I'd like to make. But let me first just go ahead and do some of the duds. If you can play the music.
All right. This is Randy and Cottage Grove's Week 2 dud stable for the Minnesota Vikings.
It's a dud stable. Should be a stud stable. Should have had two stud stables by now. But this is another dud stable. It's the Colts. And this was difficult because you could have put a lot of people into this. But these are the big, big glaring problems. This guy's been nowhere. Nowhere to be seen. I called him. I called that pick. I said, we're going to go ahead and we're going to take Justin Jefferson. It looks like he's just on the back of a carton of milk. You know, where is he? He's gone. So, Justin Jefferson, you got to show yourself. So far, you're a dud.
You think that's all his fault, Randy? Or do you think it's play calling?
Excuse me?
Do you think it's all his fault?
I haven't finished my stable. We'll get to it.
One thing at a time. Yeah,
Randy, I'd like to apologize here. I'm going to go enjoy my nachos.
Floor here.
Give the man some room to enjoy my plate of nachos.
Your possessive nachos. Yeah.
It's Randy's show. Okay.
Here's a guy who cannot make any more mistakes than he made Sunday, and he did not elevate his play at all. We're paying you a lot of money, and you look like a bozo out there. And I'm talking about you, CJ Ham. Oh, wow. You got to make some big-time blocks. You got to keep Kirk on his feet. And you haven't done that at all. CJ, it's time to get back in the weight room and throw around a little iron. Here's another guy we're paying a lot of money to. A lot of money. And that's the guy I just mentioned, Kirk Cousins. Kirk, you think I like that? I don't like that. I don't like that at all. In fact, I think you need to look in the mirror. You did it. You say you want to go break down the film? I did it. I watched the All-22 four times yesterday.
Wow.
Four times. It's terrible. What you did out there was awful. You need to look in the mirror, Kirk. You're making a lot of ching, a lot of scratch, okay? Look in the mirror. See if you're the big enough man to lead this team. And so far, you're a dud.
You like that? You like that?
You held them to 20 points, man.
Yes,
you
sir.
Gave us a chance at the end. But I got three words for you. You like that? Yes!
I don't like it. And here's another guy I don't like. And he is really quickly making it clear what a big loss Stefanski was. I was ripping on Stefanski last Christmas. I might have been wrong. Because this guy calling the plays now, Gary Kubiak, is terrible. Terrible. This isn't 1989 Kubiak. You've got to go ahead and mix it up. Throw a few screen passes to Delvin. You know, he's a speedster. He can make people miss, and you don't even want to throw it over to him here and there. You just try to force the ball to Thielen over and over again. It's a big mistake. And by the way, we shouldn't have traded Stephon Diggs. Whoever did that is a dud. Zim, You and your entire defense get to be, you and your whole defense, Zim, get to be grouped into a whole separate stable just called the defense duds. And that's a whole separate stable, and we'll just put you all in there because you have looked so bad. Even your studs are duds. Even the studs on the defense are duds.
It's a T-shirt right there.
Wow.
But now I'm going to look at the whole overall theme.
Slogan.
And I'm going to tell you this guy is not only a dud, but for my first time in my dud stable, I'm calling for someone's job.
Whoa.
You can stop the music because I'm going to
okay.
get serious.
Oh, okay. Oh, yep. It's your show. Yep.
I don't like to call for people's heads. I know Jeff does sometimes, but what I like to do is just tell it like it is. And right now, it is not pretty for a lot of guys on this team. They're not in shape. They're getting hurt. Anthony Barr, you tore your pec. Try a bench press. Strengthen your core. But you know what? None of that matters because there's a guy whose job it is on this team to make sure everyone's in shape, everyone's jacked, everyone's cut. And I'm talking about Eric Sugarman, and he's not done it. He has not cut mustard this year. And I know, Sugarman, you had the coronavirus early. I'm sorry to hear that, but it took your mind out of the game. And when the cat was away, the mice stopped hitting the rack and jacking, throwing around the big iron, like they say. And everyone is hurt. Everyone. They're weak. They're hurt. And they weren't even working out their brains. Because the way they play, that the most important muscle in your body, the brain, underdeveloped as well. So I'm calling for it. Sugarman, I'm putting you on a timeout. Shape it up. Or you got to go.
Oh, there he goes. he sped off. I was gonna get the police siren out, but he beat the cops out there.
No,
calling for the athletic trainer's head.
No,
he beat the hot take cops. He just called for the head trainer to be fired.
Wow.
He walks off every time when things aren't well.
And he's not really into.
He's gonna
like,
always walk off.
He doesn't really want the back and forth there.
Yeah. Well, no, it becomes his. It becomes his segment, and then he basically just solos it, which is fine. I didn't see that coming.
No. So of all the people that you would look to fire after this 0-2 start, where does Eric Sugarman rank for you guys? Where does the Sugarman
The fact
fall?
That he calls him Sugarman, I don't have any real thoughts on this.
I mean, listen, Anthony Barr, I wasn't going to say he looked a little slim down to me.
Can we break down?
He looked like Rob Lowe in those... He looked like Rob Lowe trying to open the mayonnaise jar in those DirecTV commercials.
Yep.
Might want to mix in a bench press.
Can
once
we
in a
break
while.
Down some of the phrases that we got in this dud stable call? When the cat is away, the mice will what?
Yeah, when the cat is away, the mice will not be
hitting
putting
the rack?
Racks of weights or something.
Hitting the rack or something?
I don't know. It didn't rhyme quite the way that.
I thought we were just going to get the cliche and. Then he went in a different direction.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's Randy and Cottage Grove's dud stable
dud.
Of the week here.
I feel bad. He didn't tell us which one it was. I feel bad for whatever bar Randy went to, ate the 12 spicy hot wings, and then stayed at for several hours.
I feel bad for the toilet.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying.
In the bar.
Well, the plumbing. Yeah. But the plumbing in that place has probably never been the same since that visit from Randy.
Man. That's you guys ever have emergencies at dive bars before?
Oh yes,
everybody has.
Yes, everyone has.
I had an all time emergency one time at the 1029 Club in Northeast Minneapolis or 1029 Bar.
I think I have also had an emergency there too,
dude. I don't know. I haven't been there in a while. It's been probably 5 or 6 years. It's a great dive bar. They've got some pretty good bar.
Good
food.
Bathroom or no?
Great karaoke.
Here's the story.
Yeah,
and again, they've changed this, but
they're remodeling right now.
So I had gone out to eat or something. We had some wings or something beforehand.
This is the story of your life.
I know.
Yeah, I had a couple extra wings.
I've gotten a handle on this lately, more than like 8 or 10 years ago.
Good for you.
Excuse me. But we went to this establishment to go sing some karaoke, drink some beer, and have a good time. And, well, got about a beer and a half in and felt the old stomach drop, right? It's like you feel it kind of growling. You're like,
oh, yeah.
Now I'm on a timer.
Been there.
And it might be 5 minutes. It might be 15. It's certainly not 20.
But you have to be prepared.
Yep. It's.
I'm with you.
It's happening.
Yep.
Hashtag it's happening.
Yep.
And so I look around and I'm like, well, Ideally, this wouldn't go down at the 1029 bar in Northeast Minneapolis. But to make matters worse, I go to the bathroom. I open the door.
Yep.
It's a small bathroom.
Yeah.
There's a urinal on the left side. And then as you kind of walk in straight, there's a stall. The stall door was, I thought, open.
Oh, no.
Wait, where is the stall door? There was no stall door.
Oh, yeah.
And when you open the door to the bathroom, you see right through where the stall door would be, and you see the toilet. So literally, if I were to use that toilet, anyone that would then subsequently walk into the bathroom,
you'd be right in line of sight.
I would be like in full sight of everyone in the bar.
Yeah, that's a bad
standing there, right?
Bad feeling.
So I'm running the options through my head, thinking, okay, is it that bad? Like, right. Is it bad enough to where this is my only out right now, or is there some other place? It's the dead. This is January, by the way. This is the dead of winter. Is there some other thing I can do or place I can go? And so I calculated in my head, I know that there's a McDonald's nearby, like off like Broadway.
Way to go.
It's like a block and a half down the street. So I scooted my way, no jacket, just scooted my way down the street, pinching together.
Great call.
To McDonald's.
It's the right call.
I get to McDonald's. It's a one-person bathroom.
Dude.
It's locked.
Oh, no.
I'm sitting there just like,
not your night.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Or I take that back. It's a multi-person bathroom, but there's one stall and it was occupied. And so I waited out. I sat in a booth and just like squirmed. And finally someone comes out. It was a homeless man.
Oh,
was in the bathroom for like,
oh no,
probably like 10 or 15 minutes, like the back end of my range there.
Yeah.
And so I went in there, just did what I had to do.
Yeah. Wow. Woof.
I applaud your ability to find the alternative bar.
Yeah.
Because that or site, because that's the key there. Because there when the one bar that we actually talked about the job here, Phil Pippins in Chicago,
that's
which
right.
was a great dive bar.
That's a great spot. Too.
Awful bathroom.
Yep.
Awful bathroom. But the key was there is a place around the block. I think it's called like Streeters or something.
Yeah.
And it is literally like you walk out of Pippin's, take a hard right. It's right there.
There's also the hot dog place next to Pippin's, too, if you're really desperate.
No. Streeters has a great bathroom. And so the alternative preparation plan was very simple there. I think there always has to be, if you go eat and then go dive bar, there always has to be that
what's my out
bail
here?
Out, basically.
Yep. What's my out
alternate
here?
Site, as the Twins call it now.
Yep. I will frequently, like, I will eat light or not at all. I go to a restaurant, I might have a little side salad or something. I'd rather starve to death than have to go into the 1029 bathroom.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
that's hell.
Salads can be dicey, though. Be careful. You think it's a side salad. Moves things along.
You get a side of something else.
Moves things along. Salad is potentially a mover. Let's say that.
Hey, you held him at 20 points, man. Yes, you sir. Gave us a chance at the end. But I got three words for you. You like that? Yeah!
All right. Some breaking news as we record this here late on this Tuesday morning. Twins related. Then we'll get to our buffoon coach of the week. But the Minnesota Twins have added another horse to the stable, gentlemen. That's right. Look at the great starting pitching right now. You've got Kenta Maeda, one of the best starters in the league. Berríos has found it. Mike Pineda. You got Rich Hill with a 3.2 ERA. And going tonight, activated from injured reserve.
Colfax?
The injured list.
Drysdale?
No, close.
No, he's dead.
You're close.
Well, he can't be going.
You're close there, too, actually. Homer wow. Bailey starting tonight against the Detroit Tigers.
Woof.
To which I say, what is the point?
Woof.
What is,
well, hold, other wait, than like wait, hold on a him. Second here. Wait. Let's discuss this decision, okay? And I know it's Rocco's world. So
it's Rocco's modern life.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll preface it by saying it is Rocco's world, or as you just said, modern life. But the White Sox are slumping is probably too strong a word. The White Sox lost to Cleveland last night. I believe you are now a game and a half but behind the White Sox in second place in the American League Central, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
You can win the division still.
The Yankees got blown out by the Blue Jays last night, and so you have distanced yourself a bit from them but want to continue to do so. But more importantly, I think that you have a real shot to go for the division title, which if I'm the Twins, I would really like to get, because then that's going to help me avoid playing the Yankees in the first round. I can be at home. I can be blah, blah, blah.
It'll either get you the Blue Jays or the Indians.
Okay, which
likely the Indians.
Who I would rather play than the Yankees. Anyway, my Long story short, I think these last five games should be taken seriously. And I think that you should put a premium on trying to win them. And I really could see them as a ramp up to the playoffs. All that being said, Homer Bailey starting?
Yeah. I mean, I get what they were doing. Totally get what they were doing. They've definitely had some reclamation projects. I mean, Martin Perez was excellent for like 2 months last year.
Yeah.
A scrap heap guy.
The start of the year, he was.
And they've
very
taken
good.
Some scrap heap relievers. Like Matt Whistler has become one of the best relievers in baseball. Like a guy that you might even trust over Taylor Rogers in a tight spot.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And I get what they're trying to do with Homer Bailey. They're trying to make Homer Bailey a thing, just like they did with some of these other guys.
For like Fetch? Don't try to make
but
Fetch
I
a thing.
Don't really understand. With 1 week to go in the regular season here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The timing's weird.
Now, here's the good news for the Twins, and ideally you would beat the Tigers in this game tonight, but the White Sox, who've lost two games in a row, and they've lost, let's see here, four of their last six, including they split the last two games against the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
The White Sox have to play three games at Cleveland, and Cleveland's scraping and clawing, and maybe even thinks they can jump up because they're only two back of the Twins, but Cleveland is prime for the playoffs. And then they play three against the Cubs, and the Cubs are a very good team too. So it is possible the White Sox could lose like three or four games this week and give the Twins an opening. The Twins would have to win four or five games this week.
Right.
In order to
but you've got Detroit,
have the division fall into their lap.
Tuesday, Wednesday, off Thursday, Reds for three. I guess my point is I would put a premium on trying to win as many of these five games as possible. And if this was July 25th or if this was August 5th, the Bailey start makes sense. I guess I'm just a little bit surprised that they're going to come back and force him or put him back into the rotation or give him the start tonight a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, let's unpack this for just a second.
But there's Rocco. So
what am I missing here? Who are your starters? You got Maeda, Pineda, Barrios. You got Rich Hill. You sent Randy Dobnak back to the minor leagues. Who am I missing?
Jake, but he's not off the IR.
That's right. Odo's not ready
Odo
yet.
Odo is. He's okay. Not. He's still on the 10-day.
So you do need, and Dobnak, you already sent Dobnak down, and so you'd have to have like, and you could find an injury reason to bring him back up. So maybe the logic here is twofold. One, let's make sure that our starting rotation is primed how we want it for a three-game series that starts on Tuesday. We are 1 week away from the playoff starting, so let's make sure that we reverse engineer this and start with what we want the rotation to look like next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you back it up, you're going to need a fifth starter to make that work this week because you do play, you know, you play, what's today, Tuesday, Wednesday?
You're off Thursday.
I guess you're off Thursday.
And the Reds Friday, Saturday. And your last game of the regular season is Sunday.
Yep. So I think what they're doing is they're prioritizing lining up a rotation for next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just to be sure. And they're kind of saying, well, we need someone here in the next day or two. And so that's part one. Part two of it might be they kind of know what they have in Dobnak. If they need him, like they kind of know they can call him back up. But they have this idea of what Homer Bailey can be when they massage his pitch repertoire. And they saw some things in spring training and early in the season. They thought, okay, like we can get Homer
he
Bailey.
He pitched one game, right?
One or two games.
Something two, like
the Cardinals game?
Yeah.
And so they want to see like, all right, let's just dust this toy off one last time in the regular season and just see like, is this a guy that we can use in the playoffs or not? And we can find out against the Tigers. So I get what they're doing. I don't know. I was just kind of mentally...
Maybe trying to save arms too, like they just want to keep guys fresh.
Yeah. Right, but that's the problem. Is now the time to start aborting mission on keeping guys fresh. Now is the time to say we're a really good team and this is going to be a grind, which I don't think Rocco is capable of doing. So what I just said, I don't think applies to him. I don't think he has the ability to do that unless he's absolutely by his bosses told to.
Sometimes it's just really impossible to tell what they're thinking because they're very, and I'm fine with this, they're very secretive. Rocco's not an open book. Gardenhire used to just literally tell you everything he was going to do every day with the media. Like having covered him for 3 years, he's just like, so this is what I think about this player. And
it's fine if I like it. So if Baldelli keeps things secret and then he does things that I like, it's fine. It's
for,
when
for
he
you
doesn't,
personally?
Yes, yeah. It's when he goes against what I would do at times that I get a little bit agitated.
So to set the scene, the Twins are a game and a half back of the White Sox. The Twins have five games, so the half game comes and that the White Sox have an extra game on their schedule. They play six against good teams, but three against Cleveland, three against the Chicago Cubs, And the Twins get Detroit for two. And then Cincinnati is in that mix of three teams vying for that last wild card
spot.
You
wrote the Reds off at the deadline, Mackey.
I know.
And the Cincinnati Reds were alive and well.
It looks like the Twins are going to miss Trevor Bauer, though, in that three-game series.
Are they?
Yep. They will face Sonny Gray on Sunday if that game matters. But right now the rotation stacks up. So they've got Homer Bailey tonight, then Kenta Maeda on Wednesday, Rich Hill on Friday, Mike Pineda on Saturday, and Jose Barrios on Sunday, according to ESPN.com. I don't know if that's official yet.
I bet they're going to know. I bet that's not going to be. Because if they start the playoffs on Tuesday, they're not going to throw Barrios on Sunday.
I agree. But so let's do the math on this. So Maeda's for sure. If he pitches tomorrow, yeah, Maeda's for sure in line for next Tuesday.
Yep, that's perfect. But Barrios is getting.
You could bullpen game that game on Sunday, too.
Well, you could start Bailey on Sunday again. So that's probably what they're doing. Yep. So they'll probably start Bailey today and then on the season finale.
Yeah, and they're just kind of saying, whatever, like, if we win these games, great. If not, like, we're more concerned with having the guys that we want for those three games than, like, who we play or what have you. And you can debate that. So, all right, gentlemen, it's time.
Football.
Time for our...
Come on! Football!
Buffoon Coach of the Week in the National Football League. Who are the candidates for this week? I've got one that you probably wouldn't expect because he doesn't fit like the chubby buffoon
Patricia
guy.
For sure.
And give us a why too. Give us a specific.
Oh, because he's
why.
Terrible. Because they
more than that.
They went to Green Bay, took what a 14 rip lead, I believe, and blew that. And I think they've blown leads in the first 2 weeks. Patricia, because of that, and just because he's going to be a buffoon every week. Buffoon two. Dan Quinn of the Falcons.
I think that's unanimous.
Like he's
blowing a 20-point
lead. Up 20. And plus the Dallas onside kick. The more that you watch it, like Atlanta could have grabbed that ball at any point. They don't have to wait for it to go 10 yards.
I feel like Atlanta should maybe have it down by now. How to not blow 3 touchdown leads in the second half? But
you never know.
You know, I'll give you one here. This is the one I was thinking of, yep. And I think like he's a very well respected coach, and I think he has a. I don't think people look at this coach as being a buffoon, but Anthony Lynn, head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, in overtime of their game against the Chiefs. So not only did they blow a double-digit lead in the second half, and the second half ended with the Chiefs marching down the field and Pat Mahomes and them kicking a game-tying field goal, the Chargers get the ball in overtime, and they're facing a 4th-and-1 from their own 34-yard line. Against the best quarterback and offense in the NFL, even though they hadn't scored a ton of points in that game. Like, this is the Kansas City Chiefs we're talking about, the most clutch offensive team in the NFL. They decide to punt. I get that they're on their own 34-yard line, but, like, come on. Like, if you punt the ball, now Pat Mahomes needs a field goal to win this game, and that's what happened. They came back down, kicked a field goal, inevitably. I would say Anthony Lynn...
That's a good nomination.
Buffoonery for punting the ball in sudden death overtime at that point.
ESPN, the worst. When the ESPN websites or when the, not ESPN, the worst websites, but when the Ringer and other sites like pop up automatic video ads.
Gotcha.
I was looking at the box score of the exact game you're talking about, and then, of course, the video ad plays over it.
You're fired. That's it.
I'm done.
It's over.
I'm the buffoon of the week.
All right, so Dan Quinn, Matt Patricia, and Anthony Lynn are our candidates for this week, unless you guys have somebody else.
I was going to go with the Chargers coach too, because they had the lead 14-6. The Chiefs, it was their first time, I think I saw the graphic, in like 17 games that they didn't trail at halftime.
I think
big mistake.
I think if Detroit, Houston, or Denver lose, which I believe in week 2 they all did,
Vic Fangio,
their guys are up for the award just because they're such buffoons.
Yeah.
Like they're lifetime achievement buffoons. So I think that if the Broncos, the Lions, or the Texans lose, I don't have to explain why. They're just up for the Buffoon of the Week Coach Award.
So Vic Fangio was last week's Buffoon Coach of the Week.
Yeah, and he's not going to get it again.
He straight up admitted that he just like forgot to call timeout.
But he deserves consideration. I am going to go with Dan Quinn.
I think it's, I'm with you guys on
Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn. It's bravo. Like, how many 20-point leads can you blow in your career?
But I mean, how do you watch your players watch an onside kick? Which they can grab at any point. Like, the Cowboys can't. Has to go 10 yards. But your team, all you have to tell them is, if it's a live ball, or if it's a loose ball, it's a live ball. Pick it up, right? Go back and watch that. The Falcons just like, oh, look at the football. Should we try and get
it? That's amazing.
And that guy should have been fired after last year. It's incredible.
He probably should have been fired in the fourth quarter of the
oxygen.
Super Bowl, to be honest.
Yeah, Dan Quinn.
So, all right, so Dan Quinn is our buffoon
football
coach of the week.
So we got Fangio. We got Dan Quinn. Congratulations, gentlemen. Yep.
So we have yet to have Bill O'Brien actually be bestowed the buffoon of the week.
Not yet.
Not yet.
It's only 2 weeks in.
No, he'll
plenty
for sure
of time.
Get it. I don't think you can give him the buffoon coach award when he's playing the two best teams in the NFL
That's
to start
true.
The season. Like,
That's
wait till okay. they lose to like the Jaguars or something,
right?
In epic fashion.
Classic.
Doug Marrone, another guy, always eligible.
You think you like football? Jim Mora doesn't just like football; he loves football.
Fired up. Let's go.
What are you fired up about?
Life, football. The media, the fans, the world, everything, you name it.
You're not down on anything at all?
Nothing.
Not a single thing?
No.
How'd practice go?
Outstanding. One of the best practices we've had in my 10-year history here.
What about those
That's
policies?
Why I chewed their ass out for 10 minutes. That's the
word. Football!
Football!
Yeah! Yeah!
Football!
Football!
Yeah!
Gotta eat chips and salsa!
All right, we wrap with Royce every Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday on Mackie and Judd. Here you can find Royce Unchained with Judd on the Mackie and Judd podcast feed and also Royce Unchained podcast, Apple, Spotify, ScoreNorth.com. So, Pat, we got Vikings things to get to. We've got Homer That's Bailey good. Making a start. But I want to ask you about our guy, Bryson DeChambeau, breaking through and working winged foot into a sweaty submission for 4 days. And the best part about it was the softball question, Bryson, it's this big moment in your life, and, you know, how do you feel in this moment? And he busts out a piece of paper and says, I would be remiss before I answer your question if I didn't thank all of my sponsors, and reads like 15 sponsors off.
Just like the car driver. So he said, if he wasn't so thick and he could fit in a car, he'd be a great NASCAR driver.
Yeah.
You got to get those 16 sponsors in there. This Goodyear, Goodrich, McDonald's car really ran well today. You got to get that in there when you're rattling those off. He has made and Roger Volpe had this quote. I didn't hear it, but Suits told me about it yesterday. He has made rough obsolete. He is hitting it. You know, he has made hitting fairways obsolete because he hits it so far that this rough that they grow for the U.S. Open that cost most people a stroke, he can just get a 9-iron in there and dig it out, and it rough is no issue for him. And we've never seen that in golf before. This is completely unique, and I don't know. I got to think the USGA is having emergency meetings. What are we going to do next year? Because we can't have guys... We can't grow grass 5 inches deep and have it not be a factor. And that's basically what it was with him because he's hitting it so damn far.
Well, it's funny because we went through this 20 years ago when Tiger Woods was hitting it farther than everybody else. And now it's even like Matthew Wolf, who you know, people locally remember, he won the 3M Open two summers ago.
He hits it 315, right?
Yeah.
But here's the deal. I brought this up yesterday talking to Suits that when I went to Valderrama for the Ryder Cup, and I still don't know how I pulled off that scam, but for the Star Tribune, but this was when Tiger was the only guy hitting a 300, right? And Sergio, there was a par five, I think it was number 15 or 16 on the back of the golf course. And this was supposed to be a three-shot par five, except for Tiger, it was a two-shot par five. And Sergio had them grow rough from 290 to 310 right in the middle of the fairway to Tiger-proof it. And I said yesterday to Suits, what they're going to have to do is at future U.S. Opens, you know, the four-inch rough you have, okay, you have that till 310 yards. And then between there and the green, it's like a foot deep. You know, so that they basically, you know, if you hit at 330 and miss the fairway, it's got to cost you a stroke. And, you know, they're going to have to just grow the rough thicker in different parts of the golf course. Or they're just going to have to accept the fact that there's going to be some guys in it so far that rough doesn't matter.
Hey, Patrick, can Zim put up with 3-13? How is Zim going to take 3-13?
Let me say one thing right off the bat.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think Randy is a comedy act, right?
Oh, I take it seriously.
I understand Randy ripped Sugarman today, right?
Yes.
It's Sugarman.
It's Sugarman.
Sugarman, according to Randy.
Like the artist.
Yeah.
Sugarman because Anthony Barr got hurt, right? Thinking, did this whole season get knocked off kilter when Sugarman, the guy who's supposed to be in charge of your COVID security, tests positive for COVID?
Is that the Vikings twist?
Did Randy in Cottage Grove somehow jump into Pat Royce's skin? 30 minutes ago on this show, Randy in Cottage Grove and his dud stable ended with calling for Eric Sugarman's head.
Yes.
Well, I think he's probably okay. Yeah, he's cool, but he was mad because Anthony Barr got hurt, right?
Well, he's mad for a lot of reasons. The dud stable was extensive today, Pat.
And the players look weaker than they should. Yeah.
Well, but when your COVID security guy doesn't get, I don't think he came down with it, but he tested positive for COVID and he's got to go into quarantine, that might throw the whole thing off kilter.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they stink. I don't know. But no, Zim can't take it. I don't think they can go 3-30. You got the Lions, okay?
Yeah, I know. No, you're right.
You're 2-0. Okay, right there. And you're going to split with the Bears. The Bears are no good either. So you're 3-0, even though they're 2-0. You're 3-1. So they're going to figure out a way to win a couple others, aren't they?
I think so.
5-11, 6-10, something like that.
I hope not, but I think you're right.
But Derrick Henry, here's going to be the – if they go into that Tennessee game and know that Derrick Henry, that they're going to load up, they're going to put Smith up on a line of scrimmage, and if Derrick Henry can still run it down their throats, then you really got problems, right? If you know damn well Harrison Smith's going to be another linebacker. In Sunday's game, and if Tennessee comes in here just physically manhandled like Indianapolis did, then this is ineptitude of the highest magnitude right here.
Yep. Pat, we get Homer Bailey coming off the injured list for a start against Detroit tonight, and the Twins are probably just going to try and see if he can give you anything to be relevant in October, I guess.
Be in the bullpen maybe, but here's Declan and I were talking about it. The thing about Homer is, man, he's a tiger. You can't keep him down, man. We thought he was done, and, you know, here he is already ready to make his second start of the year. Or is it third? I can't remember. Second, right? Didn't he start once?
I think you're right.
Let's get to the bottom
of it
here.
Yeah, I think it's the second. I think he started the home opener against the Cardinals.
Okay, he has made one start.
And
he's
then
made
he was
one start.
I yelled after that, so you're right.
Yeah. And everything you've ever heard about him seems to have manifested itself this year. He's not exactly run through the wall guy. But here's the deal, though, gents. They should be seriously trying to run the table here the last five games because they now got the loss they needed from the Yankees. The Yankees got beat last night. So they're now ahead of the Yankees in the loss count. And by the way, they're only a game and a half behind the mighty Whiteys.
Yes, and the White Sox play Cleveland and the Cubs for six games.
Pat, the problem is this is what you think. This is what I think. It ain't what Rocco thinks.
Well, here's my deal. I don't care where I play anybody except the Yankees. But I have to finish ahead of the Yankees. And if I finish first in the division, great. That's great. If I finish second, and the Yankees have to come to my place, I'm not going to like it, but I'm going to think I have an outside chance. But if I'm playing in Yankee Stadium, I have a zero chance. So they got to play away from that. They got to get two innings out of it. It was going to be a bullpen game anyway, right? So let Homer pitch two innings. But, you know, the idea that you could give away a game to try to see if Homer Bailey can pitch is ridiculous. You know, you've got to try to win them all here. But they don't have any choice because they sent Dobnak back to the minor leagues, right?
Yes. I mean, they could bring him back. They could fake an injury and bring him back or something, but yeah.
Yeah, they could, but I think they should be seriously trying to win these last five games, and they're going to have a tough time this weekend in Cincinnati because Cincinnati's still alive, and they have fairly good starting pitching.
And the Yankees, have six more games left. They did lose last night. They got smoked by Toronto. They play three more at Toronto, and Toronto's a playoff team. They're just, I mean, Toronto's hope is that they sweep the Yankees and jump up into the two seed. In their division, and then
not only is that their hope, that's the Twins' hope.
Yeah, and then the Yankees get Miami, and Miami is in the thick of it. I think Miami has probably clinched, not mathematically, but they're only a game up in the loss column on the four teams that are tied for the wild card spots right now. So Miami's desperate to win. So the Yankees aren't guaranteed to run the table this week, which is good.
No, they aren't. But the Miami games are in Yankee Stadium, where they've been hitting five home runs a game. So. But what I'm saying is, okay, you got a loss out of the Yankees. They've won 10 in a row. Now they lost 2 in a row. You got to beat the Tigers twice. You cannot
beat
these mutts. You got to beat the Tigers twice.
Yes.
Unless Gardy gave the win one for the Gardy speech.
No, who cares? Who cares?
They did win one with Gardy not being there already. They beat Cleveland on Sunday, but, yeah, you gotta seriously try to run the table here, or at least win four out of five. The Yankees might lose one more, but you gotta avoid playing in the Yankee Stadium at all costs here. So,
hey, did you boys see?
We haven't heard anything on Donaldson yet. Huh?
No, and did you boys see who drew the ire of the White Sox last night? And I believe tossed Renteria, and it was the same thing. Dan Bellino, yes. Okay. Dan Bellino. So maybe the league's just going to say, this guy's awful, too. Josh, you were wrong, but we ain't suspending you.
Well, I looked up Bellino. He's a lawyer, and actually he has a part-time job as runs a law firm of some kind in Illinois. And he must do that in his off-season, but he's like this. I think he thinks he's smarter than the other
people. A lawyer and an umpire. God complex much?
Yeah, but here's the problem. Did Renteria then go into the clubhouse and when we interviewed on Zoom say, these umpires don't try, they don't care, they don't...
They want to be out of their half hour.
I mean, if Renteria did that, then I'll put him in the same stupid category as Donaldson, but... the problem is not Donaldson kicking dirt and getting thrown out of the game. The problem is irritating every umpire in baseball by saying they don't care.
I agree with that. Yeah.
You think if they get Joe West behind the plate?
Oh, he's dead
against the Yankees.
Yeah.
Game one, he's going to call out Donaldson on a pitch 6 inches off the plate and then look at him and dare him to say anything about it.
Yeah. I agree with that.
That's absolutely true.
I agree with that. I was actually kind of surprised that he didn't strike out four times on, get the Eric Gregg treatment from the late 90s in that Cubs series.
And in fact, they've sent out a picture of that. They've sent out the video, the umpires among themselves, of the Levon game. This is the strike zone they want with Josh Donaldson bats.
I could also see like the Naked Gun scene where Leslie Nielsen is calling a strike as the ball's in flight.
Hey, what came first, Naked Gun or Eric Gregg game?
Naked Gun.
Oh, okay, because otherwise I would have thought maybe they stole it out of
No, they were ahead of their time.
I covered that game, and it was the damn I was there. It was
And hitter, the thing is, like, hitters didn't even really protest that much. They were just kind of like, I guess, whatever.
But there are 20 strikes called in that game where the ball never even hinted that it might go across the corner of the plate. It never had any intention of touching the plate when he left his hand.
It's McGriff, right, who got the worst call? I think the one that you see the most is the McGriff call.
Is that the one that ends the game? the one that ends the game.
It might be, yeah, because the ball is nowhere near the plate.
Like 14 inches off the plate, the one that ends the game. You know, we brought Eric, we asked Eric to come in after the game
yeah,
to talk to the media, and he thought we were all going to ask him about how good Levon was and how many strikes, and he got extremely irritated. Said, Eric, what the hell was that? He got very upset, you know, that people were questioning his strikes. That's my strike zone. No, that's nobody's strike zone.
Amazing. All right, Pat, we will catch up with you again tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. I got to go back and listen to Randy. What time is it going to get posted? I got to hear what Randy says.
Dex will have it up in the next hour, probably.
Yeah, next hour or so.
All right. He's my guru.
You guys are thinking exactly alike, which is very frightening.
Sugar Man.
Yes, Sugar Man.
All right, see ya. That's rapping with legend Patrick Royce. So, oh man. All right, that's a wrap on this episode. We've gone too long, and we need to stop here because we've gone past our metered mark. But we'll be back tomorrow with Write That Down predictions and an accountability session. And I think we should establish home run edition tomorrow.
Oh, home run. Okay.
We haven't done it in a while. Home run edition of Write That Down. You guys down for it?
Let's do it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Judd's got the most to lose. So if he's down for it, then we're all down for it.
Do it.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow.